Well, since I missed last week, I decided that this week we're going to take a look at the whole chapter of the, or whole book of the Bible for our message today. And we're even going to read the whole book of the Bible. Okay? You know, there are 66 books in the Bible, right? And we're going to read a whole book of the Bible today, okay? Are you all right with that? Okay? Did you bring your sleeping pillows and everything? Okay? All right, please stand out of love and respect of God's word and turn to 2 John. Yay, 2 John. You say, which chapter? It doesn't have one. Okay, because you have to have, in order to have a one, you have to have a two. Okay, so it's just 2 John. It has 13 verses, amen? And it's the whole book, okay? Yay, so we're going to go through the whole book today. I will read the odd verses, as is our custom. And for some of you that don't know, I get to do that because I'm odd. All right? And you are nice and even people, so you get to read the even verses. And we'll do that today. Beginning at verse 1, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment, that as ye heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Did you notice here in verse 4, and I love this little book of the Bible. How many of you are familiar with 2 John? I've gone through and read it several times, I hope. And what a wonderful little book. And if you read through it, you understand that the key words in the book are truth and love. Okay? And this is just a nice letter written by John to this elect lady and her children. It's not really clear as to who exactly this is. There are many suppositions of Bible scholars as to who this might be. It could just be a reference to the church. It could be a particular lady. It could be a relative. You know, we don't really exactly know. That's not really important, okay? But what is important is the content, right? And so the title of the message today is simply Truth and Love. We find that in verse 3. He says, grace be with you and mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. You know, if I got up today and I said to you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you a whole bunch of lies today. Okay, how would you feel about that? Anybody want to stay? Okay, you might find them interesting, I suppose, but other than that, you don't want to hear that, do you? Okay. What perhaps did you come here looking for today? Maybe truth, right? Is that a reasonable supposition? You didn't come looking for lies, right? He came probably looking for truth, or at least wanting to hear truth, right? And such and so forth. Okay, and how about this, and say, all right, now, I'm going to tell you all these lies in a very hateful and mean spirit. Are you going to like that too? No? I didn't think so. Okay, how about if I say we're going to learn about truth and love? Now the butterflies start flittering and everybody's gets that warm, fuzzy feeling inside and everybody's happy, right? Am I okay with that? Well, yeah, because what is God? Love. What is God? Truth. And is that not why we were here? We're here for that, aren't we? And so certainly, this particular book of the Bible is basically focused on those two elements. And can I tell you something? With those two elements, we have life. We have life in God through Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Remember that God's words are truth. We talked about the Holy Spirit of God in Sunday school this morning. He is the Spirit of truth. You understand, truth and love are completely necessary elements of who and what God is. And listen, in the Christian life, as believers of Christ, those are critical elements in our lives as well. I love what the writer says here. John is writing here. Let's look at verse 1. He says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love. Love. Whom I love in the truth. Whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. So this is a common thing, a common element. And John, of course, we understand John. John is that guy that was known for his love for Christ. Right? Yeah. He even calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. Okay, you understand, John has a soft side to him, and if you will, whereas maybe some of the other disciples weren't necessarily known for that, but he has this side, and he's sharing this to this lady and her children, whom he loves in the truth, and not only him, but also all they that have known the truth. You know what's wonderful about people that know the truth? They love the truth. They love the truth. You know what? I love truth. I hate deceit. I hate lies. I don't like it when people get lied to. I don't like to be lied to. Is anybody here like to be lied to? No, you don't. Okay, good. You understand? But I love the truth. And he says, all that love the truth, we love these people. And we'll find out why here in just a moment. But so we have to understand that in our lives and in our condition, being sinful creatures saved by grace through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can have truth and love. Because of truth, we have love, and because of love, we have the truth. They go hand in hand. So first of all, we want to talk about love in truth. You understand that as we go through here, he says, for the truth's sake, in verse 2, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Over in John 14, we read about the Spirit of truth that would come and would dwell in us forever. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. Every believer has the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of him or her. Every believer. You say, but I don't have the Holy Spirit of God. Well, then we need to address your salvation. Because his spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You understand these things are true. You know, when we discover truth, love quickly follows. You understand? Because of truth. We have, for the truth's sake, this is dwelling in us, it's with us forever, and it is in truth and love from God the Father and from the Son of the Father in truth and love. Jesus said that if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. What are his commandments? Truth. And what does that generate? Love. You understand? So love in truth. In John, 1 John chapter 3, if you want to flip over just a couple pages, in verse 11, the Bible says this, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." "And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." And that Spirit is the Spirit of truth. You see, as we go through and we look at 2 John, flip back over there, we see the reason why John had such admiration for these people, this family, or this group of people. He says, "I rejoiced," in verse 4, "greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father." These people were a good example. They were loving in truth. They were, they had the truth in love. We understand that these things were together in the lives of this lady and her children. Whether it was figuratively or accurately, a physical mother and children, or perhaps a group of people like a church, if you will, whatever the case may be, they were walking in the truth. And here is in verse 5, it continues to say, "And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, that ye should walk in it." See, we need to love in truth. And it's not a religious order. It's not a list of rules that some group makes up or some church makes up. These are, did you notice, they're his commandments. They're not new. They're not something that is unknown. They're not something that is unrecorded. They're not something that is made up. These are things that God has dictated and God has given, and they are the truth, that we should walk in them. that we should follow them. And that proves the love we have, not only for the Father, but for the brethren. You see, our love and the truth that we follow go hand in hand. Remember what Jesus said about your treasure and your heart and your love and your affection? If it's on the things of the world, then where's it going to be? In the world. If it's on things above, where's it going to be? On things above. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What do you love today? Where is your love? What truth are you following? You see, there are different kinds of truth. Well, not technically, but to some people there are. Huh? Well, I think in the Bible it talks about the truth being made a lie. You know, wires are getting crossed these days. You understand that? Wrong is becoming right. Right is becoming wrong. Things are getting flipped upside down. Yeah. You know what? In society today, man decides what truth is. They do. Truth is whatever I believe to be. That's what the humanist says. Truth is whatever is relative to my circumstance and situation. And then therefore, what do? Their love follows that line of truth. What line of truth do you follow? You see, John is writing unto this lady and to her children, and it's according to God the Father and Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in their truth and in their love. Not man's truth and man's love. You see how that goes? We need to follow the truth in love. We need to understand that these things do not come from mankind. They do not begin with mankind. They do not emanate from mankind. They emanate from the Father and from His Word and His commandments. You see, this is where love comes from. This is where truth comes from. There has to be a guideline. There has to be a beginning point of your morality. Why do you think this is wrong or that is wrong? Or this is right or that is right? Because of what you say? Because of what you've been taught? Because of where you come from? Because of the heritage you have? Or because of what God says? Which is it? He said, well, I can't love that person. Why? Is that your own deciding point or somebody else's? Didn't God love everyone? For God so loved that He gave. How does the Bible say we're supposed to deal with our enemies? Pray for them. Love them. Heap coals of kindness upon them. Bless them that persecute you, despitefully use you. Right? Is that foreign to people? Oh, very. Very. But it's truth. And it's love. In 3 John, so if you go to flip the page to the right, I guess it is. Flip the page to the left. That would make sense. Another short book. We could have read this one too. This one has 14 verses. I'm just going to read 4 of them. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. So here's another short letter, and seems personal of nature. This one has a particular name attached to it. You understand? So Gaius here, he has a standing with John. He's well-beloved, and he is loved in the truth. John says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified, listen to this, of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth, I have no greater joy to hear that than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, according to those words, we could probably understand and conclude that Gaius is a convert of John. Okay, that's very reasonable. And he has great joy that he sees this young man walking in the truth. And there's a great love generated because of that. You understand, what does God want us to do? Walk in the truth. Who are we that are born again? We are children of God. And he rejoices when his children walk in truth and love in truth. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I hope that you're so far seeing, through not only the testimony of John to these people in personal letters, but you're seeing by the testimony of Jesus Christ in his personal letter to us, the Word of God, that love and truth go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. And they need to go hand in hand in our lives. Are you there in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11? And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So can we agree that God wants his church to grow? He wants his church to develop. He wants his church to become better and better and better and better as the time goes on. Are we okay with that? Absolutely. Are we supposed to be stagnant? Are we supposed to digress or progress? Which one? Yeah, exactly. So here we are, and we're reading here, and he says that this is supposed to happen till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This goes together. What is the body of Christ composed of? Members. And those members in truth and love grow up into him in all things. That's how we're supposed to exist. You know, this place here ought to be a place of truth and love. No backbiting. No bickering. No busybodies. But simply love one for another through all circumstances. Oh, listen, is sin sin? Yes. Does sin divide and tear apart and hurt and harm and maim? And it does all of those things. Anybody ever heard of something called forgiveness? Yeah, it's beautiful. You know what? Forgiveness is not necessarily for the person that did the wrong. It's mostly for the person that was wronged. It is. But see, John is talking to these people about walking in the truth and following the commandments of God, and that is done in love one to another. And in Ephesians, we see how the body functions, the body of Christ functions best when it's growing up in truth and kind of joined together in love. These things go hand in hand. I already read to you that Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. In Psalm 119, the Bible says, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Our basis has to be in the commandments of God. In 1 John chapter 5, Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You understand that love conquers all, don't you? But whose love? His love. It's his love through us. And it's done in truth. The love of God is that we keep his commandments. And they're not grievous. You see, we have a picture here in 2 John of seemingly a family that loves walking in truth. That loves keeping the commandments. It's not grievous to them. It's not hard for them. It's not troublesome. It is joyous and enjoyable. You know that doing right and following God is not supposed to be a drudgery? You shouldn't walk through life with God's commandments around your ankle like a ball and chain. And, oh, 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 just going along. Oh, another day with God again. Come on, God, let's go. Oh, this is so hard. That's not the picture. Being around God's people. I have to go to that place again with those weirdos. All they do, they're just hypocrites, a bunch of hypocrites. What a drudgery to go. I mean, they say they're holy, but they're not holy. Okay. And you're perfect, right? I mean, what happened to truth? What happened to love? We need to love in truth. Look at verse 7. Back in 2 John. It says, for many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So not only do we need to love in truth, we need to look out for deceivers. Look out for deceivers. Hey, listen. When we hear of or see of things that don't go along with the truth, and I say the truth, that should send off a warning sign. Little red flags, little ears should be buzzing. And it's like, well, wait a minute. He's warning these people that this could happen. That in this beautiful society that they had there of people in truth and in love and one another and the Father and the Son, that there are deceivers. He says, for many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. In verse 9 he says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means that they're against the truth. They do not believe the things that we believe. In Titus chapter 1, it says this, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. That's quite interesting, isn't it? What does that sound like? Does that sound like someone who's walking in the truth and following the commandments of the Lord and going through those things? No, not at all. But you know what? There are deceivers everywhere. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Folks, it's going to bear out. Can I tell you something? These people in 2 John had a good testimony. The fruits of their life bore out, and John said that they were loved, they were rejoiced in, because they walked in the truth, and they followed it in love one toward another. You understand that as a church, a body of believers, we need to be in one accord. How can two walk together except they be agreed, right? Hey, listen, we've got to be in accord, not with what I say, and not with what you think, but what the Word of God dictates. You see, look, if we all can just agree that this is God's Word and the way of life and what to follow, then we're all going to be on the same page. You understand? But if I have my way and you have your way and they have their way, it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. That's why one of the things that I love about this type of church that we're a part of is that the Bible is the final authority for all matters of faith and practice. Not my opinion. Isn't that good? Aren't you glad? You should be, okay? Because I was taught that everybody has two opinions and they both stink because they're like armpits, right? Listen. There are deceivers out there. Hey, I'm not up here trying to promote any particular thing, but can I tell you something? There's a reason why there are many different Bible versions out there. There's a reason why there are many different types of churches out there. Because there are deceivers in this world. And they're going after their own truth instead of the truth of God. You understand that there's a warning for deceivers. This lady and her children were doing right. They were following right. They were being commended for their right. Why did the Apostle John decide to give them a warning about deceivers? To protect them. To protect them. Why does God say, Hey, listen. If you're lost in your sin, you're condemned already to hell. Does he say that to rub it in their face? Does he say that to just prove a point that I'm going to send you to hell no matter what? No. Why does he let them know that? So they can be saved. Why does he tell the Christian, hey, you're getting a little too far from me. You're going your own path. The chastening hand of God says, hey, come back to the Father. It's not to drive them further away. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You understand that God wants to bring us back. He wants to warn us. You know, there are countless Bible verses that talk about hell. And the problems with going to hell. And having to spend eternity in a place called hell. There's countless Bible verses warning the Christian about backsliding and getting away from God and falling back into sin. You understand, we ought not to be a part of those things, and it's for our protection. Beware. Beware. Love and truth. Look out for deceivers. In 2 Peter chapter 2, it says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. In Jude, it says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Where does all this come from? Where does all this stem from? Just one verse. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Beware. There are deceivers out there. They are there they are entered into the world, and they are deceivers and antichrist. He says, we need to watch out. We need to look out for deceivers. Go back to 2 John with me, if you would, please, and we'll kind of wrap this up. Love and truth. Look out for deceivers. Look at verse 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. How many of you want to receive a half reward? Or a quarter reward? No? Anybody? Oh, everybody okay with a full reward? Right? That's okay, right? That's good. Okay? Now, I like that. That makes me happy, right? A full reward. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, right? Who wants to enter partly into the joy of thy Lord? You know, well, I'm kind of happy with you, but not really. But yeah, I am. But kind of not. No, we want it to be full, right? Okay, so we have this idea. And then look at verse 12. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink. But I trust to come unto you and speak face to face. Why? That our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. So we have love in truth. We have look out for deceivers, and we have then live in joy. Live in joy. God wants us as his children to live a joyful, abundant life. Does he not? Hey, how do we get that? By loving in truth and looking out for deceivers. We can live in joy. You see, it goes together. This whole letter that is written to these people is a testament of the victorious Christian life. The joyful Christian life. Were these people saved? Yes, to our knowledge they were. Were these people living in truth and walking in the commandments of God? Yes. Were they warned to look out for deceivers? Yes. Were they receiving the full reward? As of this point, they were. And there was much joy and happiness all about the circumstance. You know, I look around and I see a lot of people that fit this description. This letter could be written about you because your children walk in truth and you're doing things right. You're living life and you're following the truth and you're following God's commandments and you're serving the Lord and you're probably even watching out for deceivers. And your joy should be full. John was looking forward to meeting these people and seeing them once again. And why? Because of the truth and love. Because they walked in truth. Because they were the kind of people that he wanted to be around. And he loved being around them. Anybody ever feel awkward around somebody? You go to a circumstance, maybe it's a family gathering, maybe it's a high school reunion or something, and you just don't feel like you fit in. Yeah, because maybe you're the only Christian there. It's kind of like, You ought not feel that way here. We need to live in joy. John 15, as the Father hath loved me, so I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Psalm 35 says, let them shout for joy and be glad, that the favor of that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Proverbs 21:15 says, it is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Proverbs 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. All these things are the joy of the Christian life. The love of God, the commandments of God, the awareness of those that are without, that are trying to deceive and to destroy and to harm the church of God. This little book of the Bible is an amazing testament to what church should be, of what a church family should be. And it has to do with truth and love. Truth and love. A few parting verses here. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, it says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. See, folks, it's worth it. It's worth it. One day we are going to see him as he is. One day we are going to be like him. We are going to be with him. You understand? That they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Not only is this a testament of the love that God has toward us, and the truth that God has for us, but it's also a testament of the love we have for others. Not just the brethren, not just those who are of Christ, but also of those who need Christ. Where's your heart at? Where's your heart? Do you have enough love to go out into the community and preach the gospel to every creature? Do you have enough truth to preach the gospel to every creature? Do you have enough of the joy of the Lord in you to go out and be a gospel light in your community? You see, folks, it just starts here. It should emanate forth. That's one of the reasons why I just love Lighthouse Baptist Church. That light wasn't supposed to just be kept inside. It was meant and designed to shine out there on the sea to warn others of impending danger. You see, this lady and her children, they were loved in the truth because they walked in the truth and they loved one another. And there was much joy face to face when they were able to meet again. You understand that God wants this for our lives. God warns us. He gives us truth. He gives us love. He gives us life. Enjoy in abundance. But can I tell you something? It's not just for you. You notice what John said about also all them that love the truth? It's supposed to multiply. It's supposed to pass on from one to another. We're not supposed to keep it all for ourselves. We're supposed to share it with others. I don't know. I remember back to when I was thinking about this year, not having been a pastor before. What could help the church as far as a theme, something to grab hold of? And for some reason, God laid upon my heart this thing of each one reach one in 2021. Can I tell you something? It's July. The seventh month of the year. Right? July, August, September, October, November. We only have 6 months left. Maybe this idea of love and truth was needed today to help you get out and reach someone for Christ this year. We still have 6 months. You can look at it that way. Or you can look at it as we only have 6 months left. Is the truth and love emanating out of your life as it should? Not only toward one another, but toward the lost. God wants us to live in truth and in love. Is there someone out there rejoicing greatly that you have been found walking in truth? Is God the Father in heaven rejoicing greatly that you're loving the brethren and loving the lost to Jesus Christ? This thing of love and truth and love need to be found in our lives, as it was found in this lady and her dear children.